にそっと潜んで殻につくようになってる。さばめく違和感の正体はあるんだ。燃え尽きるほど熱に浸って空っぽになった後でうつむく残像はトントンと溶かしてる。同時にそんなにも止めないで刺激と安らぎの矛盾を全部続ける。ここ突き開く一瞬に心を狂わるほどにもっと感じるくらって支配されているのさ。切なの愛としていても
Hello, you're listening to Otaku Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo!
Today's episode is a discussional podcast episode. We talk about the news that seems important to us, dive into our community, answer some great questions from our community members, and then say goodbye. So, how was the last few weeks there, Chris?
Doing okay.
Got all of our first impressions done, finally. Really, 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 really long podcast, but we made it through. We lived. We survived. And now it's like this long lull until we get into all the other crazy stuff like reviews and first impressions and music and all that stuff that is always a fun time each season, but we get through it. We have a lot of fun. It's a lot of stuff to cover. So, really big season. So, really, really big season. So, there's like nothing that we can really skip. How are you doing? Because usually after the first impressions, it's like, okay, now focus on stuff you want to focus on. Has it died down a little bit for you, or are you still like overburdened with too many things you want to watch? Because you technically have been forced to watch like three shows during live streams. Everybody's criticizing you for like three shows you haven't watched.
Yeah, pretty much. And so
Yuki Yuna 86, and what was the other one?
Irina.
Yeah, Irina. That recent episode was pretty big. I have to admit, I had a lot of fun with my predictions on that show after the last episode.
Yeah,
it got to a cool point. Not a cool point, but it could be a very tragic point, but I'm very intrigued by what they can do. That's all I'll say.
I have to finish Finna as well, because I know that you're going to want to review that one. So, yeah, I've got a couple of shows I got to catch up on. And plus, all of 86, which is...
It's not too many episodes. 17 episodes? It's not like you're dealing with, like, a full core. There's, like, the first core was, like, short by a couple episodes, so... If that makes you feel any better. And you technically have another week to work with, because this weekend, one of our news bits is that, yes, the 18th episode is delayed.
Not to mention all the shows that I have to catch up on Netflix as well. So
next year's looking crazy. We have I was telling Chris last night, because they had this big, huge Netflix festival stream. I'm like, I think we could do a podcast just on what happened during that festival, because 2022 is stacked for Netflix. They're going in deep. They're going in real deep. It's pretty surprising.
We'll see.
And plus Kendro Suda. An entire segment on Kendro Suda, which is fantastic. It's been fun. It's been a lot of fun. And then technically, and this is, I guess, a good thing for us, Final Fantasy 14 and Endwalker is delayed.
Yeah.
Sadness. But it's so sad
that I would say that's sad. That
it's sad for Yoshi P, because he was he was like crying on the stream. I'm like, poor guy. And it's like, you know, it's granted he's gonna cry on the stream because he's so passionate. I mean, this is his life and this is his project. But it's like, I don't think there's anybody that was like, dang it, Yoshi P, you failed us. He's the only one. He's like beating himself up more than anybody. Everybody else is like, it's fine, dude. I know that I, you know, requested time off from work, which is very difficult for that. I mean, it's literally like around Thanksgiving, so asking for time off around there is kind of difficult. I did that, but it's okay, Yoshi P, because I love you. I feel bad for everybody that's
actually something that we've talked about before, goodwill of the consumer. That's almost the absolute perfection in explaining goodwill right there is, yeah. Is
how much the consumer base will actually give a lot of leeway to somebody who actually is willing to take care of their customer. And where we've talked about, you know, I mean, WoW is the exact opposite of somebody who has trampled all over that goodwill. At what point does the customer base just say, you know what, we're done with you?
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing is, like, technically it's an aspect of the, you know, a delayed game is better than a failed game. And granted, it's, yeah, a lot can be done in 2 weeks, especially if it's something that they, like, found something that's really critical that's going to ruin the game. They probably found a really terrible bug that's going to ruin things, and they have to fix that, so... It's a good thing. It's a good thing in the end, honestly. So, well, it's a good thing for me because that gives me a little bit more time to work with. But at the same time, it's one of those things where I'm definitely looking forward to live streaming that because that'll be a lot of fun. Just got to watch out for spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
Got to watch out for the spoilers. I mean, it is one of those things where it's like, it's just an MMO. It's like, but yeah, Shadowbringers proved that they can do some really crazy storytelling that you're not going to want to spoil, get spoiled for you. So, yeah. Nothing crazy in Genshin. I failed to get Hu Tao again. Failed the 50-50. Got Diluc instead. So I'm sad. But
I
means next time I can get the next unit.
It's so funny because during the live stream I said congrats or something like that, and you're like,
he's making fun of me.
Here, there's Chris making fun. I thought you wanted Diluc. I'm sorry.
No, I wanted Hu Tao. I'll take Diluc when he, you know, jumps in there when I'm doing the regular banner or something. I don't want Diluc in a rate up. So
if apparently we got the exact opposite. I failed the 50-50, got something I really wanted, and that was kind of a fluke for me, and Andrew failed the 50-50 and got something he didn't want. So I don't know.
Yeah, you got a waifu. I got a husbando. There's a big difference there. I don't know. It's like I wanted Diluc just to have the completionist. It wasn't so much that I wanted him. It's like if I'm going to play a fire unit, I don't really care to play with him, so...
Yeah, so that's now you've got two, I went and looked through my list, and I only had one, or there was only one that you had that I didn't have. Now you have two that I don't have. Again, you
Albedo and Diluc. So two husbandos, goopy-doo. You got your ka-ching, so you don't have to be upset about me having a wifey that you don't.
I think I've got all the girls now, though.
Probably. I think so, yeah. Anywho, that's our Genshin talk for the week. Don't worry, people. Moving on, I guess we can get into the news, because there's a lot of news to go through. Like, the last couple weeks, just 2 weeks, have been absolutely insane. So, get ready. And it's really fantastic news. That's the good thing. It's whenever it's a lot of news and it's stuff that we're interested in, that's always better. So, kicking things off, probably one of the biggest exciting news of the last couple weeks is that, yes, we had a confirmation on the heart of Kunoichi Tsubaki is getting an anime adaptation. We, of course, talked about this before, that it was rumored, but thankfully now we have Aniplex coming out and saying, yes, the heart of Kunoichi Tsubaki is being anime adaptated. It's crazy because, like we mentioned before, this is literally like the third series of Soichiro Yamamoto that's going to get adaptated. So we, of course, have, this is the creator, the mangaka of Teasing Master Takagi-san. Of course, he's had two seasons already for that series. We have a third season coming in January. And then we have a movie sometime in 2022 for Takagi-san. Additionally, off the other work that Soichiro did is Will Ayumu Make His Move, which was also getting an adaptation in summer 2022. So three total series. I think that's all of his series are all getting anime adaptated, which is fantastic because I like a lot of his work. Of course, I haven't technically looked into Ayumu. I have looked a little bit into Tsubaki, and it's very cute. Looks like a lot of fun. Like the ninja girls that are out in the middle of nowhere. They're not allowed to have any interaction with boys, but they're curious. So cute little things kind of ensue. The actual synopsis lists it as the No Boys Allowed Kunoichi Female Ninja Academy comedy manga centers around titular Tsubaki, the best student of her school. She lives in a village of women with a rule that they cannot have contact with men. However, she has a curiosity about men that she cannot reveal. So, doki doki.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fun. Really looking forward to that. Really happy that it's getting an adaptation. The other cool thing is that Cloverworks is working on it, which Cloverworks has been doing some fantastic stuff recently, including Shadow House and Wonder Egg Priority. Also, the character designs are being done by Yosuke Okuda, who did the character designs for Is the Order Rapid. So, we'll be really interested to see their take on his work. Now, it looks like based on the visual art that they released for it, it looks like it's still retaining the usual Shoichiro large forehead cute look. So it's not like he's changing that style completely, because obviously, like I said, Shoichiro's work is kind of very unique, but it does look like it has that usual eye style. Maybe they'll pull off the Izzy Order Rabbit eyes that we like so much. So.
Yeah.
Really cute. Really looking forward to that one. A lot of fun. So happy to see a confirmation. Thank you, Aniplex, for finally putting us at ease. Speaking of, like I said earlier, the official website for 86 has announced that the 18th episode, which is going to be airing this Saturday, has been delayed. They have said that the delay is due to production issues, and it will have an episode in its place, but it will be a visual commentary episode, which I'm assuming is going to probably be a recap. I don't know. It could be like some cool stuff in there, maybe analyzing stuff in it, but it's probably a recap. To throw something together in a week, it's probably just a recap. But yeah, the series will continue on November 20th. I'm super bummed, but at the same time, again, like we said earlier, better delay than a terrible episode. Which, based on where it's at right now with the story, I'm assuming it's a lot of combat to animate. So my assumptions for what they're going to be covering the next episode, it's probably going to be a lot of combat. So, and they've been doing a fantastic job with those combat sequences. So cool stuff. Cool stuff. Even though it's sad at the same time. So moving on. Bungo Stray Dogs is coming back, Chris. Are you excited?
Absolutely not. Yes, I'm super excited.
Jeez. It's kind of brutal. I don't think I didn't finish the last season. I need to get back to it. But yeah, apparently Bungo Stray Dogs, during an event for the series, they confirmed the series is getting a sequel anime adaptation. Studio Bones and the staff is going to be returning for the sequel. So cool stuff there. Like I said, I need to get caught up, but I'll probably do that before this comes out. They haven't said when. So, it could be sometime, probably fall next year.
I can't remember if I even bothered with the second season, so.
Yeah. Cool stuff. Discotech has announced some Blu-ray releases that are coming out on January 25th, including Ninja Shinshi Tobi Kake, or Ninja's Robots, Urasai Yatsura, Remember My Love, Case Closed, Sunflowers of Inferno, Appleseed, and Kenichi, The Midas Disciple Season 2. So, cool stuff there. Especially Urasai Yatsura and Appleseed. Those are two really cool ones. So,
I'm curious about the Mightiest Disciple. So,
Yeah. Cool stuff. Website has opened for Spy X Family, or Spy Family, or Spy Cross Family, whatever you want to say it, pronounce it as. confirming that the manga is getting anime adaptation. This is another one that we've had pretty much rumored for, like, I think a year now. I think like a year ago we talked about this. But, yeah, it's finally got a confirmation. It's coming out. It's going to be exciting. It's kind of one of those ones where, just based on the synopsis and everything, it's got me really excited for it, just the chemistry. It's basically about a spy that is assigned the role to essentially infiltrate a private school. In order to do that, he has to procure both a wife and a daughter. Of course, turns out that the wife that he ends up selecting is actually an assassin, and the daughter that he adopts has some sort of psychic abilities. So, interesting little chemistry that they kind of build from that, but it looks fun. I think I like the whole stone face spy thing with family. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And Wit Studio and Cliverworks is working on it, so it's sure to look good.
Yeah, it looks adorable.
Yeah, fun stuff. Exciting. Going to be kicking off in 2022. I don't know if I mentioned that, but that's great. It's great. Kodansha Comics has licensed some titles, including Cells at Work. How many Cells at Work manga are there?
Apparently a few.
Cells at Work Neobacteria and Cells at Work White Brigade. I think I heard about White Brigade, but yeah, there's way too many Cells at Work manga. Like, gee, that is blowing up. It's just blowing up. The other ones they have is Anyway, I'm Falling in Love with You, With You and the Rain, and The Ice Blade Sorcerer Shall Rule the World. So, cool stuff. Exciting. For Yen Press, they have announced that they have licensed Sugar Apple Fairy Tale manga. This is going to be set to getting a simulpub starting on November 3rd. So, this one, the fantasy novel, is set in a kingdom of Highland where fairies serve humans and center on a girl named An. An's mother recently passed away, so An decides to carry on the family trade and become a silver sugar master, a special artisan that can create magical candy. With her foul-mouthed fairy bodyguard, Charles, she sets out on a journey to the capital.
At this point, it's almost to the point where we're not going to be able to stay away from manga and light novels soon.
Yeah, I keep like having this desire to go a lot. Like, there's one especially, one that we'll talk about later, another publisher that's grabbing some really unique titles. And it's like to that point where I'm tempted to go message them and say, hey, can we get, you know, review copies or access to your services so that we can cover some of the stuff. And it's like, but I don't have time.
Yeah, I know.
Don't, Andrew. You don't have time. Stop. Discotech. Hey, Discotech. Oh, no. I don't have time to cover all these old titles that are getting Blu-ray releases. Just time. Time. I'm barely keeping up with the season. I don't need to be having other stuff. But that's, of course, what we always have a problem with. A lot of people are like, hey, why don't you check out this? Why don't you cover manga? Why don't you cover this? And it's like, there's only so many minutes in the day. I mean, this is what we've decided to do, which is cover anime. And so you got to choose one. I've seen so many content creators that go to the route of doing source material, and what happens? All they do now is source material. It's like,
yeah.
Well, that kind of leaves out everybody that's doing the anime, and they don't want to cover all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, so. That's like, I people have been asking for, 2 years now to look at Solo Leveling. I loaded up Solo Leveling. It's loaded on my iPad. I don't know when I will actually look at it, but the problem is literally what Andrew's saying is time. I mean, the only time I really have is when I have a couple minutes at work. When I come home, I do my real quick, little bit of time that I focus on, Genshin Impact, which is not as much time as you would think. And then I go right straight into watching shows. Unless Andrew is, doing a live stream, then I might poke in there and lurk a little bit and then go to do my show. And while I'm lurking, I'm not actually listening to what Andrew's saying. So I feel like an idiot when I pop in and say something. And we done talked about that 45 minutes ago. Well,
welcome to the chat, Chris. Welcome to the chat. Yeah. Time. For the next bit we have is Sword Art Online. Progressive is getting a new film in 2022, to a shock to nobody. This is following the premiere of Aria of a Starless Night film, which was the first of the Progressive films. The new film will be Kuraki Yuyami no Shirzu, which is Shirzu of a Dark Dusk. So it's kind of sad. Like, when they first announced they were going to do Progressive, I was like really excited. And then it didn't take very long to realize, oh, they're just going to film this entire thing. And then they'll probably do an anime adaptation of it, which will probably just be them splitting it up into anime episodes, because why not double dip? I mean, we do it the other way around, so why not double dip? But it still sucks, because it just means we have to wait longer. I mean, it's not like they're going to spoil anything, because technically it's just a side story of Asuna's route through the whole thing, but I'm sure there's a lot of cool stuff in there. Looks like some interesting characters, so. Bummer, but cool, I guess. More Asuna for the big fans of Asuna. Let's see here. The official website for Fruits Basket, speaking of annoying film instead of anime, the official website for Fruits Basket anime has announced that the series will get a compilation film, Fruits Basket Prelude, which the story covers, of course, the backstory of Toru's parents, being done by TMS Entertainment. It's going to be opening in Japan on February 18th, and we'll get a Blu-ray release on the same date. I hope that Crunchyroll gets it on the same date, too. Hopefully. But yeah, I think that we were thinking that this was going to be a TV OVA or something like that, but apparently they decided, why not film? But excited?
Yes and no. I get the I would venture a guess that that's going to be really bittersweet. I mean,
probably because you kind of know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
to
we
one.
Know what's going to happen. So, and she is such, she's got a heart of gold, so I can see that being an absolute bittersweet story.
Yeah, yeah. Excited for it. It kind of sucks because that was one of the ones that everybody was mad because they skipped it when they were doing the true adaptation of Fruits Basket. And it's like, yeah, I guess people were panicking, but at the same time, they did say they were going to do the whole thing. So it's only natural that they decided to just do it as a movie or something. But cool stuff. Cool stuff. Can't wait for it. Again, I hope Netflix or Crunchyroll picks it up so we can watch it quickly. It looks like it could be because of the fact they're doing a Blu-ray release as well on the side. You don't typically have a actual theatrical release, and then a door over is a Blu-ray seller going, "Hey, why don't you just buy the Blu-ray rather than going in the theater?" So I'd assume that they're going to be okay with it being, you know, net broadcast as well. We'll see. We'll see. Sentai Filmworks has announced that they have acquired distribution rights for Hallelujah 2 Boys. I guess, and that's how you say it, because it's Roman numeral 2. So this, of course, is a 1997 anime that ran for 25 episodes. So exciting there, I guess. I don't think I've ever even heard of this. So that's kind of it's kind of exciting in that route. Hallelujah Hibi no has one ambitious life to conquer the entire world. Despite his tough exterior, he is not a bad person, and when push comes to shove, he'll do his best to help those in need. Together with aspiring painter Kiyoshiro, Hallelujah and will take on whatever curveballs life throws his way. So, that told me nothing. That told me nothing.
He wants to conquer the world and he helps everybody.
With a baseball bat. Go take on that world, I guess. I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Moving on. We have the official website for TV anime RPG Real Estate has released a PV. This shows that the debut for the series will be in 2022. Of course, the exciting thing for us is that Dogokobo will be the studio for the series. And based on the PV that I watched, it looks literally like Is the Order a Rabbit Real Estate version.
And this is going to put Dragon House Hunting to shame. Absolutely going to destroy it.
Well, because cute girls, Chris. Because cute girls. It looks like a lot of fun. Just from the PV, it looks really great. Characters look really cute. Cute girls doing cute things at its best. And plus all the RPG mechanics and stuff thrown in there as well. It looks like they have a loli dragon, which, of course, why not? You gotta have a loli dragon. One of the girls looked like Risa. Is it Risa?
Yeah.
Risa? From Is Gordo Rabbit? That's why I was getting the vibes. I'm like, this is totally her. And she looks adorable, so I'm all for it. It looks great. Super excited for it. Definitely one up there for me. Moving on, we have, Kodansha's weekly Shonen magazine has revealed that Friends Game, or Tomodachi Game, is getting an anime adaptation. I think this is another one that we've heard kind of rumors of for quite a while now, but it's set to debut in April 2022, so we already have a season, which is fantastic, a lot of studios and producers could probably learn from this, because there's way too many things that are just 2022. But, the studio is going to be Okuru to Noboru, which I have no information about, so hopefully it's not a bad studio, I guess. The story, based on Mikoto's original concept, centers on Yuichi Katagiri, a young man with a perfect student life who has four friends who with difficult lives. His peaceful daily life comes to an end when 2 million yen in school trip fees goes missing. Oops. Riddles unfold as Yuichi gets caught up in a mysterious game for money and must decide whether friendship or money matters most. Damn, it's got dark. It's super dark. Excited?
That sounds interesting.
I'm curious how, gamey it is. Like, it's probably more, psychological, I guess, than, violent, like Darwin's Game or something like that. It's probably just more psychological. Interesting. We'll see. RetroCrish is set to add new titles to its service, including Ryoko's Case Files on November 5th, Zetman on November 12th, Lupin the Third, Alcatraz Connection, Operation Return the Treasure, The Elusive Mist, and The Last Job on November 24th, Shrine of the Morning Mist on November 19th, so interesting stuff there. Cool stuff. The Duke of Death and his maid manga is set to enter its climax. This was announced during the 14th compilation book for the manga. So fans of Duke of Death, I guess, expect that it's coming to an end here soon. I don't know how far we ended up getting into the manga with the adaptation of the first season. So I'm curious if the second season will wrap it up. I mean, it's not that many. 14 is not very long, so I don't know if you've looked into it at all.
No. And Seven Seas, I believe, requires you to buy each individually. So somebody said three seasons up there.
Yeah, they're saying 5 volumes are cover with the first season. We'll have at least 15, so it's going to need 3 seasons, according to AP24 on Anime News Network's forums. Interesting. All right, moving on, we have Shueisha's revealed that its upcoming Jump Festa 22 event will reveal information about the anime based on the Thousand Year Blood War arc of Bleach. Of course, this is the final arc of the manga that's getting adapted. The event takes place on December 18th to 19th, so we'll definitely keep our ears open for what comes from that, but cool stuff.
I really need to just finish that.
Last 4 episodes?
No, the manga.
Oh, the manga? Yeah. Why? It's getting adapted. Why wouldn't you just watch the adaptation?
Because they're nowhere near where I'm at in the manga.
Well, why would that be that far ahead if they're adapting the final arc?
They're probably going to skip a massive portion of it.
Well, the final arc is apparently 55 through 74 volumes. Anyways. So, I don't know. I have to look into that. That would suck if they're skipping stuff, but I mean, it might just be that stuff that it might be filler stuff. You just don't need that filler stuff in the manga.
I mean, I'd have to double check because where they left off in the anime, it seems like there's so much that happened between that and the other part. So I'd have to double check.
Moving on, we have Crunchyroll has added Revolutionary Girl Utena to its catalog in U.S. and Canada. So if you have not watched that kind of very iconic, you know, classic anime, check that out. I don't know who all has not at this point, but it is kind of one of those ones where I think it's kind of very niche. It's got a very niche fandom, so it doesn't surprise me too much that a lot of people haven't watched it. Seven Seas has announced that they have licensed The Weakest Tamer Began a Journey to Pick Up Trash light novel and manga. I thought that was the...
Sold.
By the Grace of the Gods.
I don't know. I'm sold. I don't care.
Isn't that what they basically did with The Grace of the Gods? Was that the one that had all the slimes and he was cleaning up like sewage and everything with slimes? So, young Ivy can't catch a break, though she has a few memories of her past life. She was reborn in an RPG-like world in the weakest class, and worse, as the weakest rank. As a node star tamer, even her parents want nothing to do with her, and she soon realizes she must survive on her own. She learns to live off of the land and salvage what she can from the people she's from people's leavings. From I guess the like people, they're yeah. to waste.
Yeah,
I've never heard it called leavings. When Ivy manages to tame Sora, a lowly slime, everything changes for both of them. There's something special about this frail little monster, and Ivy's care will bring out the best in both of them. Interesting. Very interesting. Definitely going for the Dewdrop version of the slimes, like the Dragon Quest version of it. So, not the new round type that everybody does now, like slime and By the Grace of the Gods. Like the Hershey's Kisses version is better. But there you go. Very cool. Interesting. Looks cute. Hopefully that will get a adaptation. But we'll see. Let's see here. It seems like a lot of these publishers have insights into stuff. Like there's so many times where we'll get like they'll license something and then like shortly later we'll get an announcement for an adaptation. So it's like every time you get these, especially the single announcements for licenses, it's always like something come around the corner that we should be aware of. I know that like Funimation had total insight in the Fruits Basket, because what happened right before they announced they were doing a readaptation of Fruits Basket? Here's the new collector's edition version, remastered Blu-ray version of Fruits Basket's the original TV series. And it's like, cool, we can get that in Blu-ray. And you grab it and you buy it. And it's like, hey, there's a new, brand new, better version coming out soon. Thanks for buying the old crappy version. It's like, damn it, you got me.
Yeah.
I know.
That's kind of what, I mean, we were talking about at one point is, yeah, the problem with the manga and the light novel industry is that they're not taking chances. They're waiting until they know that it's a sure thing, and they have to do they have to take risks on a lot of these. And now they've got a foothold. Now they can get into the anime industry, and they can kind of guess ahead what's coming.
Yeah, it seems like that's, and that even if it is, even if it's a case where something is announced and they don't know about it, they're really quick on the pickup to go, okay, here comes this thing. It's getting anime adaptation. You know, it looks like it's got this popularity in Japan. Let's grab the source material and bring it over here. And by the time the show starts airing, they'll have it started over here. That way, yeah. When hopefully by the time the show ends, people can pick up on the source material and continue on. In most cases, it's always like behind a few volumes before the anime ends, but it's still something. So
yeah,
for those that, you know, want to continue on without putting on the old hat and jumping on a floating piece of wood. The official Twitter account for Nanonbiori has revealed that the manga compilation volume that is shipping here soon will ship a new OAD. This OAD will serve as the 13th episode of Nanonbiori's nonstop anime. So I think we heard about them doing an additional episode. So hopefully, again, Crunchyroll, please pick up that remaining episode. Because it's not like I want to import a Blu-ray release just to get that. So. Or not a Blu-ray, a volume for that. So cool stuff. More Nanonbiori nonstop is always good. Definitely exciting. Chris, I know you're waiting for this.
I actually am.
It's exciting news. The news of the century, I think. I think it's something that I think a lot of people have been waiting for. I mean, yes, you have things like, you know, Evangelion getting Blu-ray, it getting its final, you know, rebuild film. I guess is exciting, but this right here, I think is something that we've been waiting for a long time. I know there's a lot of talk, especially when we get into things like, you know, Sony getting into anime and talking about Netflix diving in there, wanting Amazon to get back into the game, Disney Plus now getting involved, all these groups that are getting involved with things in order to make things happen. And then we have so many great series coming back, like Fruits Basket, having that come back. That was exciting. And all these great sequel announcements, it seems like anime is better than it ever has been. And it has me so excited for things like Kageki Shoujo. It's like, man, it's Kageki Shoujo, really fantastic show. That could get a sequel. Spice and Wolf, when has that happened? We need to rebuild a Spice and Wolf. No, what they said is the thing that we need a sequel of is Spirit Chronicles. That needs a sequel.
Okay.
Spirit Chronicles getting a sequel, guys. Screw Spice and Wolf. Screw everything else. Spirit Chronicles, that needs a sequel. Yes, Seide Gensoki, Spirit Chronicles is getting a second season. We no longer can call the first season source material bait.
I was getting ready to say it seems like we were a little upset about that ending. So them getting a second season was kind of a good thing.
I like when I go on these big rants because Chris just looks at me like, where the hell are you going with this, Andrew? Like, where could I dive into this conversation? Because it seems like he's going somewhere. Why are we bringing up Sony and Funimation and Netflix and Amazon? Okay.
No, I get the point of your rant, but there's not a lot that we can do about it, so we're at the mercy of whatever the whims of them is, and the whims of them is they want to do this right now.
I was going more for, like, make people confused with what I'm getting into, and then I transitioned into how everything gets sequels and rebuilds and stuff, but yeah. Anyways, I'm happy. Jokes aside, I am happy for this to get a sequel, mainly because I liked the first season. I mean, I got frustrated by the walking away from girls and them crying every episode, which was like a fetish of him for some reason. But, and I did hate the ending. The ending was stupid. I think even with a second season, the ending's still stupid because it was so rushed. It was so like, hit the fast forward button. Here's all this stuff. So it is, I'm happy that it's getting a sequel because I no longer am angry at the idea of the first season just being a prelude, an opening to the actual story. We'll actually be able to possibly get into something. Obviously somebody showing up that's kind of a surprise is a thing too. So I am excited for it. I'm happy for the series because thankfully, I don't have to go back to my old video and put a note in the pins. I know there's a second season coming, people. Because you know somebody's going to go check out my review of the first season and go, oh, actually,
there's a second season.
Actually, there's a second season coming. Yeah, I made it like 5 months ago. I know now. But it's cool. I'm excited for them. I'm excited for the series. Cool stuff. Definitely be checking it out.
There's probably like already a comment. You know that, right?
There's got to be. I got to see. Let's see. YouTube.com. I don't know. Would it be that fast? When was this posted? 4 days ago. They're definitely going to be. Chronicles review. There's definitely going to be. Am I the only one that has an actual review of the completed? I think there's a lot of, like, here's the thoughts on it. But let's see. Comments. Changes. Hair and Crime Simulator. No, there's no comment about it getting a sequel yet. People got to get on
that. I'm disappointed.
I even opened up with a joke. I took my phone. I don't know if you watched the review. I took my phone and I said, hey, Siri, what is the definition of a source material bait or something like that? And then I held up the phone. It had a picture of the key art of Spirit Chronicles.
Did it?
Yeah. Wow. No, I just... It was a joke. It's not like they actually came up with that. I put the sound effects of her going, you know, beep. Here's what I found on the internet or something like that, and I held the picture of it. So it was like literally my entire joke is false now. That review is so dated. I have to redo my review, obviously. But yeah, there you go. They have a new like little celebration art they put out there and everything. I even made a video on it, so you guys can check out my news video on that. So there you go. No Spice and Wolf sequel. No Kageki Shoujo sequel. No Wonder Egg Priority actually being completed.
No Super Cub.
No Super Cub sequel. Jeez, Chris, don't remind me. At least we're getting Sentence of a Bookworm coming back. I guess that's one thing we can be happy about. Yeah, it is kind of mind-boggling. Granted, these adaptations are paid by the companies that make money off the source material selling. It's not like it's in the interest of these production companies to go find something that's not their license to adapt it. So I don't expect this production committee to go, oh, can we make a sequel of Spirit Chronicles in order to make more money off of the source material? No, everybody wants a Spice and Wolf sequel, so let's do that. But it's not our property. But everybody wants it. It's not like they're going to do that. So
I'm actually dumbfounded.
Mostly joking, people.
I'm actually dumbfounded that the creator of Spice and Wolf is not jumping all over that.
It's like the whole aspect of readapting the entirety of Fruits Basket. It's like the whole aspect of doing the entirety of Mushoku Tensei. It's these groups that are like so passionate about something. They're like, we're going to do this. There's nothing really in it for them besides, again, technically, you know, merchandise and Blu-ray sales. It's not as if, I mean, yeah, they can probably make more money off of the source material selling again if they do more compilations. But yeah, I mean, Spice and Wolf is still going.
Yeah.
And they still make new releases of it. They make collector's editions of it. They make VRs of it. It's like, it's huge, but why not anime?
I would love to see the, not quite the demographics, but I'd love to see how popular it is in Japan. I assume it's popular, but I can't imagine that there's not some kind of a demand for it, unless it's just because of how long it's been out that everybody just gave up on it.
You think it's the Cowboy Bebop effect where West picks it up, not really East?
Yeah, that's what I wonder.
I would imagine because they're selling more and more volumes of the light novel. They're not going to keep the light novel going just for the West.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying.
22 volumes of the original, and they have like 4 of Parchment. They had a full manga. It's crazy.
Yeah. It seems like it's popular, but why not the readaptation? I mean, for Pete's sake, I had never even really heard of Ushio and Tora until I was, you know, it's one of those that it was in my sphere. I'd heard of it here and there, but it was not really something that I'd ever really heard a demand that, hey, you should go and watch this. It wasn't one of those that you know, like you should go back and watch Dragon Ball Z. Everybody mentions Dragon Ball Z at some point. But Ushio and Tora wasn't really one of those. And that got a remake.
Yeah, no, that was kind of like a weird... I need to look into that because I'm sure there was probably a certain committee that was involved with that because that was literally this time where MAPPA just started shooting out remakes.
Yeah.
They did Ushion Tor. They did Dororo. They did, what was the other one?
Kakuguri Circus.
Circus, yeah. It's like out of nowhere. Boom, 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 boom. And it's like, these are all fantastic. Keep doing this. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just them, you know, redoing the same thing. It was like them actually improving it, improving the story and everything to make it more better paced and everything to fit a more modern audience. So,
and I'm not saying that those shows are not great shows. That's not what I'm implying in any way. My point is that if there is such a demand for Spice and Wolf, something that is vastly loved by a large majority of the audience, I'm not going to say everybody loves it, compared to a kind of more obscure, I'm not saying that it's not popular by some audiences, it's just more obscure than Spice and Wolf. Everybody knows Horo. Well, a large portion of the audience knows Horo. We don't really know Ushio. You know him now, but back then it was...
I think even now people don't know who Ushio is.
Yeah.
That's the sad thing. I think we're into it. It makes me wonder if there's like a preventative. Like there's something license related that's holding it. Like there's somebody that owns something regarding Spice and Wolf that won't let it be adapted.
Yeah, and that's something I'm curious of. It, just like Skip Beat, why it didn't get a kind of a Blu-ray over here was mostly because they didn't really think that there was a good what was it, a the dub or something like that.
I know they had to redub that one.
Yeah, I know they had to redub it or they had to dub it, but there was something involved in the licensing that prevented
the songs
it from
probably. There's probably songs in there that they're or keeping, because that's something that happens with video games. But I think the lost track of what I was thinking of. I hate that. But no, I really do think it's probably a preventative. There's somebody involved that just doesn't think that it's probably maybe it's beneficial enough to even bother with doing it, and that's the sucky thing, because I think it's one of those things where you don't really know if it's going to be successful until you do it, and it probably requires. Yeah. Oh, that was going to mention. You were mentioning Skip Beat. Munster is apparently the same way. I know that Sean Kleckner has come out, I think, specifically and said, yes, I know that the one thing that everybody asked us to save is Munster. It's nearly an impossibility. And I think that was the same feeling they had for Evangelion. Like this was an impossibility. And that was probably, Evangelion is probably more money. Like whoever was going to license that is going to have to fork some cash. But I think Monster is one of those ones where I think there's something in there. There's somebody involved. Somebody owns something within that can't touch it. Probably Gackt music.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Did Monster have some Gackt music in there somewhere? It's probably what it is.
I almost can guarantee it.
But even then, it's like just replace it. You're going to have to redo the music and everything anyways when you publish it as a Blu-ray. Just mute that part. Get rid of Gackt. It'll be all good. I wonder how Gackt's doing. I know we had a mention that he was illness or something like that. I hope he's doing well. So, anyways, where were we at? What were we talking about?
Demon Girl Next Door.
Spirit Chronicles is good, a sequel. So, yeah, there you go. Happy to hear about that. Speaking of illnesses, unfortunately, the manga creator Izumo Ito has announced on Twitter that she is going to be on a hiatus due to health reasons. This sadly extends the hiatus for the Demon Girl Next Door manga. She said that treatment for her ongoing illness has severely impacted her stamina and vision, unable to work for extended periods of time. So we definitely best wishes out to her that she recovers quickly. Definitely a fantastic creator that we've enjoyed a lot of her work. So hopefully everything kind of turns around and you get lots of rest. Take a break. Just take like a 6-month break. It's okay. Just as long as you got your health, that's what's important. So yeah. And of course we already knew that's apparently getting a second season. So that's super exciting for her as well. So looking forward to that. I'm curious if they have enough content for a full second season or if there be issues with the adaptation because maybe they need more content. Again, doesn't matter. Still take a break if you need it. I'm just talking. Moving on, we have Toei has begun streaming two trailers for anime within the Anime Supremacy novel series universe series due in 2022. The two titles are Soundback Kanade no Ishi, and the other one is Unmei Senshin Lidil Light. I'm guessing that's how it's pronounced. Of course, the Anime Supremacy novel follows people in the anime industry who are working on two series that will air in the same quarter of the year, of course. One is a legendary director's anime that is 9 years in the making, and the other is an anime that from a promising new director. An anime animator who is the topic of the conversation online and government workers on a sightseeing trip get involved with these projects. Now, here's the weird thing that I'm not quite getting, but I guess I get it. It's like they actually list the directors for these anime as the fictitious director from the novel series. So I'm sure at some point we'll get the actual directors, but for now they're listing these fictitious directors because, of course, these two anime that Toei is releasing these trailers for are of the anime that are made in this particular novel. So it's very interesting, I guess. Looking forward to it. The first one is Soundback is like a mecha type. And then Unmei, I think, is about a director within a director. I think it's like a whole, I don't know. I try to make sense of it, but I couldn't.
Are they trying to do some kind of weird Inception thing?
I guess in some. That's where I was going to. Yeah, apparently Clamp did the illustrations for it. So I'm hoping that maybe they'll get a little bit of Clamp style in those. I think it looks pretty Clampy. Is that a proper way of saying that, Clampy? But cool stuff. I'm excited to see what that comes from that. Again, 2022.
I don't know. That sounded a little inappropriate.
It does sound very inappropriate. I'm just kind of go, you don't have to bring it back up. Inspector. Of course, we found out that they're having a second season, I think, when the first season ended. And then it's been pretty much quiet ever since then, which I think is like, what, been 2 years at this point? It's been a long time. Oh, is it only January 2022 or 2020? So it's only been, yeah, it's been 2 years. Basically been 2 years. But yeah. We finally got an announcement for the second season is going to be in 2022. So we now at least have a year to work with for when this new sequel is coming. Are you excited?
This is crucial.
It's been a long time waiting. Yeah, at least a PV, but it didn't really have anything. It just had clips of the old series. But yeah, I think the way I see it is like I like the aesthetic. I like the chemistry. I just hope the pacing builds up a little quicker in the second season. Because that was my only issue was in the first season was that just it felt like it drug out the stories.
I don't think so, seeing as how that it felt like that was its way of telling the story. So probably going to be a lot of the same.
It was like a 4-episode battle sequence in the later part of the first season. It's like, how long is this going to go for? Now we got to start doing like tweeting about this. Yeah. Anyways, we'll see. I'm interested in it. Excited for it. Definitely excited for Tonikawa Over the Moon for you, Chris, is getting a second season.
Yeah.
You happy for that?
Kind of am.
Crunchyroll is already set to stream it, so that's great. I think it's for North America, Central America, South America, Europe, Africa, Oceania, the Middle East, and CIS. What's CIS? I don't know.
Central Intelligence System.
Yeah, there you go. Central Intelligence System. They're going to stream it for the Central Intelligence System.
Yeah, got a special license just for the Central Intelligence.
All the Central Intelligence Systems are all, yes, Tonikawa! Thank you, Crunchyroll! It's like showing like a map of like all these areas. And then Central Intelligence, a group of guys inside of a room screaming,
maybe Central
cheering.
Islands.
Probably. So there you go. Tonikawa for CIS. You got it. Awesome stuff. Witchcraft Works manga is set to end in 3 chapters, and it's also seeing a 1-month hiatus. So, I don't know, I guess that's good news.
That kind of sucks. I actually liked that that anime, and I kind of wish they had done more of that. But that's like we were talking about it earlier. We're at the whims of whatever they randomly decide they want to cover.
Spirit Chronicles. Spirit Chronicles, Chris. They got another season of Spirit Chronicles. So yeah, Witchcraft Works viewers, I guess, be excited for it coming to an end here soon. Get that conclusion. Finally, you might get a kiss from the characters. Super stuff. Kamiki has announced some licenses. It's a digital manga distributor. They have announced they got Hero Classroom, The Girl I Like Forgot Her Glasses, The Ice Guy and His Cool Female Colleague, Fenrir, My Awkward Senpai, My First Times with Suwa-san, Your Tears Are Mine, Together Forever, Mizuki Senpai's Love Fortune Telling, and Art. So, I think the one that I want to look at was the Forgot Her Glasses. The Girl I Like Forgot Her Glasses. Kaede Komura has a huge crush on his seat partner, Mei-san. She, however, has terrible eyesight and tends to either forget or break her glasses. Komura-kun offers her a helping hand, and as they grow closer, their feelings for each other grow too. I like the picture. It's so cute. Mm-hmm. She's like, squinting. What other one? My Awkward Senpai. Konawa Senpai is considering many things, but smooth is definitely not one of them. Then she meets Kamegawa, her new kohai. He's cute, a little nerdy, and easy to talk to. How will this awkward senpai be able to handle these new feelings? That's a very plain thing. My First Times with Soa-san. Yamanaka Suguru always viewed his first times as challenges to overcome. But when a girl suddenly confesses to him and becomes his girlfriend, she introduces him to countless new challenges that he never knew about.
When?
Question mark. Cool stuff. Fun stuff. All right. And our last bit is pretty much a huge bit. It's all of the Netflix Festival Japan 2021. I did make a video and post it. So if you guys want like visuals to go along with all this stuff, you can check out that video on our YouTube channel.
You lose out on my thoughts.
You don't get Chris's thoughts. You just get pictures, but you lose Chris. So you're going to want to watch and listen to both of them. That's the trick here. That's what my plan is. Anyway, so yeah. Netflix on the 8th of November had a festival, and they had a whole entire segment on anime. And yeah, they've kind of opened things up with a whole bunch of trailers. Then they went into talking about Super Crooks, which of course is a series that is set to debut on the 25th of November. So be excited for that. I, for some reason, did not realize that Kendra Suda is going to be in that series. So that has me super hyped, even though I wasn't even caring. It's like Kendra Suda comes into the picture and suddenly Andrew cares. Andrew's man crushes in something. Andrew's got to watch it. So be excited for that. Again, on the 25th, Super Crooks. They showed a trailer for Agatsuko for the fourth season. I can't believe this is still going on, but I guess it has a huge fandom.
That's one of those that's like, I really need to just watch it so that I can say that I understand what the love of that show is. The one episode that I watched, it was like, characters are kind of cute. The
mainstream the idea hype ruined is kind of
amusing.
That's what sucks. The mainstream hype ruined it for me, I think. Yeah. That's what sucks. It's like they had all these groups that were claiming it was the greatest thing ever. I watched a bit of it and didn't really get attached to it. The whole she gets frustrated and super rock, heavy rock thing, it kind of ruined it for me. It was, I hate to say this word, but it cringe for me, but I don't know.
I mean, even because to me, it felt similar in kind of thematically to Himoto. And while Himoto, at least it had a cute cast of characters that kind of carried me through that show, this one, while the artwork is cutesy, it wasn't the same type of cutesy. So take that for what it is.
I'll definitely be checking it out eventually. I need to get some time to do it. Yeah. But it's been something I've been wanting to watch for a long time. But again, trailer stream for it. They showed a visual art for it. I think it's already been out before, but they have announced that the debut date will be on December 16th. So if you're a fan of Akatsuko, be excited for that. Something that came out of left field, Kakegurui Twin. They announced that this series is going to get an adaptation. Of course, it's a spinoff manga by Katsuda Saiki. It's going to have a worldwide debut on August of 2022. And of course, this takes place a year before the main series and follows Mary Saotome. So definitely one of my more favorite characters in that series that I, the bit that I did watch of it, which is the first season.
Yeah, that's actually one that I, like I've said several times, I definitely want to watch that that show, and having a secondary makes it even more. I need to hurry up and get on that.
Was that? I know the first season was on Netflix. I thought that Amazon got the second season, and then Sentai picks it up after that. So it's kind of up in the air where you're going to go to watch all these kakagurities at this point. But yeah, I need to finish the second season. I think I started watching it. I don't think I finished the second season, though. But there you go. Gambling with Derpy Faces. Andrew loves it. they brought up Record of Ragnarok, the second season, which they really revealed nothing new. They talked about Beastars, third season. Again, revealed nothing new. Ghost in the Shell, Standalone Complex, 2045, second season. I think it's the first time they announced that it's going to be in 2022, but that could also be old news as well. Ultraman, second season. Again, they revealed what we already knew. I think they revealed the 2022 date as well there. They did reveal 2022 date. I'm just not sure if that's new news, because it's hard to keep up with what's new here and what's not. But they did show a new teaser revealing the Ultra Six Warriors, so if you're a super fan of that and you want to see that, you can go find that. Nothing really fantastic there, but I am looking forward to the second season with that and Ghost in the Shell, honestly, because both of those they ended like cliffhanger, especially Ghost in the Shell was like super cliffhanger. So they brought up Tugger and Bunny second season, which is going to get a worldwide premiere in April 2022. They also revealed a new visual teaser, so cool stuff there. They also announced that, I don't know if this was new as well, that they're going to get the first season on their platform as well, so if you need to get caught up, hopefully they'll release the first season on Netflix before the second season. Mm-hmm. That way, for people like me, can actually get caught up. That's one that I keep wanting to go check it out, but I never do. So that'll be interesting to get in that, so. They brought up Spriggan again. They showed the trailer that we've had for a long time. 2022 release for that as well. David Productions working on it. That's actually one that I'm really excited for. Looks very Akira in style. And I don't think it's the same. It's not the same mangaka, but it's got a similar style to it as well. So kind of looking forward to that one. Kotaro Lives Alone. This is one that I don't know that we've talked about before, but yes, you know why I'm interested in it suddenly. But they released a teaser trailer for Kotaro Lives Alone. And yes, the Kotaro, the main character, is voiced by Rika Jimia. So obviously, Andrew is now suddenly very interested in it. So they revealed that it's going to be releasing in 2022. Now, a lot of news sites are listing it as spring 2022. The stream, they just said 2022. So I'm not sure where they get the spring from, but we'll see. Leiden Films is going to be doing the production for it, of course. For those that are unaware of this series, it essentially follows a 4-year-old boy named Kotaro who moves next door to Shin Karino, an unsuccessful manga artist. Kotaro has no parents and lives alone. Not only does he seem to earn a living, he actually seems to be more put together than his own strange neighbors. So, 4-year-old boy living alone that seems to have his act together better than everybody else. It looks cute, though. It actually, his character design looks like Yato. Like, it looks like a child Yato. He's got the whole short black hair thing and the shirt and everything. It just looks like Yato.
Is it a CG?
It doesn't look like... I don't know. The trailer, I think it looked more like Agretsuko, kind of, where it almost looks like it's like 2D on 3D plane. I don't know. I can't really put my finger on it. But like I said, it looks cute. It looks like a lot of fun. And yeah, Rika Jimia, sorry. It makes it like 10 times better. So there it is. Maybe not. Technically the zoom in from the apartment looks 3D, but I mean, he definitely is 2D. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to tell from the teaser. Because like I said, it technically is trying to use the CGI to make it look like things are bigger. So I don't think that's like saying that it's going to be CGI. I think it's going to be 2D.
Hmm. It'd be interesting. So. Sounds adorable.
Yep. Next, they had a run through of 3 original series, which again, I think all of them we already knew about, but they just gave some more information about it. The first one was Vampire in the Garden. They revealed a new teaser art for it. As well as 2 seiyus for the 2 main characters, the vampire and the human that's leading it, which is Megumi Han and Yu Kobayashi. So that's definitely awesome. Wiz Studio, of course, is working on it. It's releasing in 2022. This one is after humanity is lost its battle with the vampires. A small population creates a small town to protect themselves. The protagonist wishes to coexist with vampires, and the vampire queen once loved humans and disappeared from the battlefield. The two have a fateful encounter, and they talk about the humans and vampires once living in harmony in paradise. So they'll probably try to find paradise again, I guess.
Probably.
Looks good, though. Visuals look pretty awesome. The Orbital Children, extraterrestrial boys and girls. Now, this is the one that I'm, like, super, like, shocked by, because it's one of those moments where you think you remember something, but then you don't know that you remember the entire context. But we have talked about this series before, and I was kind of excited for it then because I knew the director and creator was Mitsuo Iso. And Mitsuo Iso worked on Dinocoil, was a creator of Dinocoil, which I really love Dinocoil. What I didn't know was that The Orbital Children, Extraterrestrial Boys and Girls, is a direct sequel of Dinocoil. It's set 15 years after the events of Dinocoil. So I'm like, wait, same creator, he's creating basically a sequel? I'm, like, super hyped now. this one is of course going to be a two-part film, and it was going to be streaming and premiering in Japan on the 28th of January. Well, Netflix apparently is pretty much going to be streaming it at the same time. So on January 28th, it's going to be a six-episode series on Netflix, again, taking place 15 years after Dinocoil. The synopsis is, in the year 2045, internet and artificial intelligence has become widespread in outer space. Following a massive accident at a space station, a group of children are left behind. Using narrowband and SNS, low-intelligence AI, and smartphone-controlled drones, they overcome numerous crises.
I need to rewatch Dinocoil.
Did you finish that one?
I think I did. I don't remember.
I think we always talk about, did you finish that? Every time we talk about Dinocoil, did you?
Either I got to a certain point and kind of dropped off, or I just, or I finished it. One or the other. I know I have started it. That's for a fact.
Yeah. It's fantastic. It's a great series. Everybody should check it out. And
I do remember black blobs and things popping out of the black blobs.
Yeah. And defragging augmented reality perceptions and glasses and shooting each other and getting stuck in augmented reality and weird warping parallel augmented reality parallel world. I don't know. It's been a long time. It's been a long time. But yeah, definitely excited for that one. Looking forward to it. Of course, the other original that they've been talking about for quite a while now is Exception. This is, of course, an original series in collaboration between Hirotaka Adachi and Yoshitaka Amano. Of course, Yoshitaka Amano is known for doing the Final Fantasy artwork, which is always really beautiful stuff. This one, of course, is set in a distant future. Human beings have been forced to leave Earth and migrate to another galaxy. An advanced team of spacecraft arrive at a planet that is to be terraformed. Each member of the team is outputted.
And they find insects on there?
No.
Oh, okay.
Terraform Mars. Each member of the team is outputted by a biological 3D printer. It's only a matter of time, Chris, before
the 3D printer makes insects?
People.
Oh, people. I gotcha.
A fatal error occurs during the creation of one of these members, and stuff happens, apparently. So, yeah.
Their head got chopped off by an insect.
I joked about the idea that somebody accidentally bumped the 3D printer when somebody was being printed, and it didn't turn out too well. I mean, insert the usual Amano artwork. Things didn't go well with a 3D printer.
Definitely insects.
3D printer. It does look like a terraformer thingy. But yeah, worldwide release in 2022. I'm super pumped for that because Hirotaka Adachi and Amano. So I'm sure whatever creature is going to come out of that 3D printer is probably going to be terrify us all from the idea of ever being 3D printed by a 3D printer. So yeah, looking forward to that. Additionally, they said they have apparently are getting exclusive rights to two Detective Conan series, The Culprit Hanzawa and Zero's Tea Time. So I'm sure Detective Conan fans are flipping out right now.
That's one of those that is like similar to One Piece. Yeah, I plan on getting to it at some point so that I can just say that I've done it and it's over with. Obviously, it's popular, so it's doing something right.
Or JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Yeah, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Obviously, it's doing something right.
Again, this is that whole aspect of why Andrew doesn't watch JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. That entire stream is nothing but people barking about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure in the chat. It's like, you people make me not want to, like, ever watch that show. I don't want to be those people. Everything's a JoJo reference, and every time there's anything, you have to yell about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Okay, perfect example of this.
The fandom ruins it.
A perfect example of this, what Andrew's talking about. Everything's a JoJo's reference. I didn't watch this video, but in my feed, as I was looking up something involved in a question that we're going to talk about in a little bit, I ended up noticing down in one of the thumbprints. And the name of the, want to guess what the name of the video was?
JoJo references.
Is this a JoJo's reference? What was in the thumb?
Fist of the North Star.
No. It was 0-0-0-2-0-1. And somebody patting her head. Exactly my point. What? How in the world? Now,
obviously a JoJo reference, because JoJo has humans beings in it.
Now, to be fair, I did not watch the video, so there might actually be some kind of a JoJo's reference involved in that, but seriously, you guys...
I want to make a video with a thumbnail that says this is a JoJo reference and it's me pointing at a Bible or something like that. Is the Bible actually a JoJo reference? Is the Dead Sea Scrolls a JoJo reference? Something like really old.
I love y'all. I really do. The passion is great. But come on. Not everything is a JoJo's reference.
And most JoJo references are Fist of North Star references. But that's just my ongoing joke. It's just a joke. Calm down. Calm down. But no, it's like, I think I've mentioned that several times. We've probably mentioned this podcast, but I know that I had a big, long talk on one of our live streams about this. It's like, I literally don't want to watch JoJo's because I see the fandom and I don't want to. It's like there's a fear of me becoming like that. It's like a legitimate fear of becoming like that, where all you think about is JoJo and everything is seen through the lens of, is this a JoJo reference? Which I understand that it's a very prolific series that has obviously, you know, inspired a lot of things, but it's okay. It doesn't. You don't always have to look it through that lens. I'm afraid I'm going to start doing videos talking about, like, is this one? Is this one? Is this one? Is this one? Okay, anyways, moving on.
I'm going to go and start watching Magical Girls and talk about how they're all references to Magical Girl Milky or something like that.
Yeah, that's going to be funny. It would be funny is just to start watching JoJo's. And every episode that I do impressions on every episode as I watch through it. And I talk about how things are it's referencing other things. That would tick people off so bad. JoJo actually referencing this? JoJo referencing this? Because I'm sure there's plenty of inspiration from JoJo from other things. It's okay. Anyways, I said we're going to move on. Seven Deadly Sins. This was like terrible. Like, I felt bad. Like, I literally felt bad this part of the stream. So they come up and they said they have this new thing, Seven Deadly Sins, Grudge of Edinburgh. A completely original story, at least that's what the trailer says. I don't know if that's actually true. This is part one of two films. Or, this is the first film, but it's two parts. Anyways. Yeah, this full CGI. It didn't look good. At all. I mean, we're talking, I don't know if I'd say X arms like some people are saying, but it didn't look good. It didn't look good at all. I'm not going to say what it's supposed to be about because that's spoilers, but if you guys want to, if you're invested in Seven Deadly Sins, you'll probably know what it's talking about. But the slide that they had after the trailer list Production Plus H as the studio, which I've never really heard of them, but I think that Miami List has Orbital Children listed under Production Plus H, which doesn't make any sense, but yeah, it's full CGI. It doesn't look good. I kind of joked in my video talking about this news bit, like, it's kind of one of those cases where, like, somebody created this trailer and, like, wow, this looks great. Like, this character looks cool with the swords and they raise him up and super bolts flying around. Looks super cool, right? And nobody in the room wants to tell them that it doesn't look good. And then they throw it up on the screen and go, holy crap, this is my work. It's like, it's sad because it's like, who thought that anybody would be good about this? I think the trailer they had on YouTube is like getting super downvoted, which makes sense because it's kind of like the whole aspect of it's two part, because on one end, it makes sense why people would be mad about this because it's full CGI. But you also have the other aspect that everybody's been sold on this series for so long because it is a 2D animated series that they've been invested in for a long time. Who thought this was a good idea? Yeah, it's 50-50 on ups and downs. I'm surprised it's only 50% ups and downs, but I don't know. I don't know who thought that a full CGI Seven Deadly Sins was a good idea. But it exists, and they're doing it. So, yeah. We'll see.
That was it?
That was it. That was it.
Eh.
Well, I mean, this is what you're looking at for CGI. Like, it just... it doesn't look like an anime character. It's got the whole sausage finger thing going on. And
one thing I can say for sure, he doesn't fit against that background.
The whole hypertexture.
Yeah.
Somebody that's just like copy pasted a texture map onto the ground. But
everything else, I don't know. There wasn't enough there to really go, oh my gosh, this is
I think the outcry is the fact that it's CGI. Honestly, like I said, they were sold on a 2D animated series, and then suddenly, I don't know, we're CGI film. Now, granted, it could just be CGI for this little combat sequence they're showing in the trailer, but I don't know. It didn't show anything 2D at all, so the assumption is it's going to be full CGI. It's just I think the other thing that troubles me is that this is kind of following the huge outcry that was around the final seasons of the adaptation that were, from my understanding, wasn't very good animation. Like, there was a lot of complaints about the animation going downhill, which is surprising because the first seasons, I really enjoyed the animation. I think it was really well put together. I mean, it wasn't like footable levels, but it was good. And to hear that, it kind of made me not want to jump into watching the remaining of seasons because I heard about all the problems they were having with production. So, and to follow up that bad production with a full CGI anime kind of sucks. It's like it feels like they're just kicking people while they're down. Anyways,
yeah, I don't want to sound like I'm trying to hype it back up. There wasn't enough there. It didn't look like the character art fit with the background. I have no idea what they were really showing in that triangle thing. So
I'm assuming that's probably spoilers. I'm not even going to look into what's happening there. Like, I had a moment where I'm like, what's going on in that? No, I shouldn't think about it.
Yeah.
Bermuda Triangle, David Copperfield, I don't know. Was it David Copperfield that did the Bermuda Triangle thing that he got stuck into?
Probably.
Was it David Copperfield?
He was the big magician for a while.
Dad was really into it. Anyways, drifting home.
I think that was more mom because he was good looking.
Probably. He was a good looking dude at the time.
Not so much. When you look back now, it's like, what? Ladies found him attractive?
It's like the whole, I don't know, Full House kind of thing. Drifting home. Drifting Home, Studio Colorido has been working on it, of course. This is going to be the third film from Colorido for Netflix. Of course, they had Whisker Away and Penguin Highway. I loved Whisker Away. I think Penguin Highway, I haven't got a chance to watch that one yet, but I really do want to. But this apparently is going to be coming out in 2022. Of course, it's a Project Twin Engines. And for those that aren't aware of the series, it is Kosuke and Natsumi has been friends since childhood. But as time goes on, the relationship between the two sixth graders seems strained as they keep avoiding each other. One day, during summer vacation, they visit a housing complex that was scheduled to be demolished. Having grown up there, the place holds a lot of memories. But while playing, they suddenly get caught up in a mysterious phenomenon. When they regain consciousness, they see an entire ocean before them as the housing complex has drifted into a mysterious sea with Kosuke, Natsumi, and others in it. Will they be able to return to the previous world? A summer farewell journey begins. It looks good, though. Like I said, the trailer looked really good. And like I said, I really liked Whisked Away. Really did want to watch Penguin Highway, but good stuff. I'm excited. And yeah, they pretty much finished up the stream with, they had some conversations between directors, which I'm looking to go back and actually watch it to its fullest, because that's a lot of insights into stuff that I really want to get into. But at the time that I was watching that, I was putting together this outline for the day's podcast, so I couldn't really read the subtitles, whereas everything else was kind of dubbed over or translated. The other cool thing they had is that after that, they had Kendro Suda time, which you can't help Andrew jumping right into that one to watch that. It was a lot of fun. I really love Kendro Suda, obviously, and for them to give like an entire section into interviewing him and talking about all the projects he's been on, it made me realize just how much Netflix loves stuffing Kendro Suda's pockets, because I think he's been in like 12 different titles over the last couple of years. Obviously, they know how to get Andrew to watch an anime title, is to put Kendro Suda in it. Obviously, he has all the live-action stuff he's doing with the whole Tatsu Way of the House Husband stuff. They have the live-action Way of the House Husband, then they have this Tatsu Time, which is like this, like, just live-action Tatsu doing something. So, obviously, they're having a lot of fun with that. They revealed that he is going to be playing Lucius in Thermae Romae Novae, which is going to be releasing in 2022, which I think is going to be another reason why I'll end up watching that show. again, I've already mentioned Super Crooks. He's going to be voicing in that one. He did some voicing for one of the characters to say one of his lines, which was really great. But yeah, really fun. Really great little segment. If you're a fan of Kendro Suda like me, definitely go check out that segment. It was a lot of fun. So that's it. That was it. That was all the Netflix stuff. Apparently, they're going to have another stream today, which I don't know if it's going to be anime-related or if it's just going to be just Netflix overall-related, but I'll keep an eye on that and let you guys know what comes from that, if anything interesting comes from that. Somebody's asking why wasn't I live-streaming that whole session last night. I'm like, well, one, I completely did not know about it, but two, that is a copyright hell right there. I am not going to be able to live stream a Netflix stream with a whole bunch of anime in it. That's going to probably flag me. But I kind of would have liked to like just stream and give my reaction to it. But it's fine. It's fine. Plus, Japanese live streams are like extremely drug out. Like they just talk about the most random crap and just make it take as long as possible. So most of it would probably just be us going, okay, move on. Just move on. But yeah, that's all the news that seems to be important to us that should be important to you because it's important to us. So let's dive into our community, answer some great questions from our community members. As always, like we said before, if you wanted to go to otakuspirit.com, at the top there's a contact us button there. You can go to the forums there, join the forums, talk to some great people on there. And you can also post your question in the anime question thread there. You can email at andrew@otakuspirit.com, or you can hit me up on Twitter. There's plenty of ways you can get a hold of us to let us know your questions to answer on the podcast, which we always have a lot of fun with. So,
need more questions.
Yep. And one of those such people is Yari. Yari has sent us a question through our contact us button on the otakuspirit.com. Says, hey guys, I hear and answer the call for questions. So upon recently seeing the news that Kimetsu no Yaiba was estimated to have generated a record-breaking $8.7 billion from sales, events, and merch, etc., it got me wondering what impact this would have on the anime industry going forward, perhaps luring new competitors into the industry upon seeing the potential money opportunities, or maybe a shift in production committee's way of thinking. Instead of making 10 Spirit Chronicles... I didn't know that was in the question! Honestly, didn't know that wasn't the question. Instead of making 10 Spirit Chronicles with low-risk budget but low rewards, we could instead bank on making the next Kimetsu no Yaiba by being more eagle-eyed with source materials and, upon finding a good one, invest a lot of resources to making sure that it is a good adaptation. Or do you think they will stick with their conservative, don't put all your eggs in one basket strategy? It's the next part of the next question, but
I have a feeling we're going to get a lot of extra spinoffs of that show. We're going to get, more,
you gotta have like spin-off backstories of each character.
Pretty much. They're going to make that poor mangaka, put him in a basement, lock him down, start forcing him to make this show, like, run on forever. There's a lot of things that they do over and over and over again, and this one is probably going to go down that same road. Unfortunately,
I like how the question is about the entire industry, and you zoom in on them making that much money.
They're going to try and milk this for everything they got. Unfortunately,
the question is the other studios and the other production committees, Chris.
No, they don't care about anybody else. They're it's all going to be about this one. That's what they've.
But
been
they
doing.
Don't have that property, Chris. Are you talking about the other people?
The other people, they all do the same thing. They wait until they find their golden goose, and then they strap that golden goose down, and they wait until every golden egg is out of that thing. They all do it. I know. I'm talking about everybody else. They all do the same thing.
Right. Well, no, I think the question's more on the idea of, okay, well, yes, that's the thing, because technically, to Chris's point, that's because they found that golden goose. Now, I don't know that Kimetsu no Yaiba's popularity in the manga was because of the anime. I think it definitely bolstered it, but I think the reason why they put that money into it was because they seen that it was a success, it was making money, and I think that they just threw basically gasoline on a already burning bonfire and said, let's make it bigger. So the thing is with everything else is it's that focus on it being just a source material bait. So the question really is their focus on just continually to get that fire burning and keep it burning as big as possible, and that's the only reason they continue their adaptations, or if the idea is to continue to have it on parallel with each other all the way to its end? And that's the big question, because everything else is always so focused on creating an interest in the source material, and that's it. And that's, again, the surprise for something like Spirit Chronicles is I'm guessing it did well enough that they're like, okay, let's throw a little bit more fire or more gasoline on it and make it a little bit more fiery. Because the thing is always our struggle as anime viewers is we always look at the anime as our way of getting that story. And we, of course, always acknowledge the idea that it's not really the case. It's the anime isn't intended to be the way to get the story. The intended way to get the story in the producer's eyes is get interested in the anime, get into the source material, because that's where we make our money. That's where the most profit is from them printing on this few sheets of pages for a couple pennies. And you buy it for $20 and they make bank off of it. The profit margins on a manga is humongous. I mean, they're probably paying their most money into either advertising or distribution. The price of the actual book itself is pennies. So they want you to buy that, not buy a Blu-ray that costed them a fortune to make. So getting that perspective changed from being, let's light a little fire, see if it starts up. Okay, that didn't. Move on. Okay, here's this one. Let's start the fire, see if it lights up. That was a little bit crispy. Let's go ahead and do a second season. To, okay, here's a really great idea. Let's put everything into this and put a solid budget into it. I would love that, because that tells me that it's something that they want to keep pushing towards and keep building up and make that bonfire bigger to something like Kimetsu no Yaiba. But unfortunately, Kimetsu no Yaiba, like I said, was already a bonfire, and they just made it bellow bigger, whereas all these other companies are just dealing with these small properties that they're trying to get to spark up and make it bigger. So I don't necessarily see the effects of what's happening with Kimetsu no Yaiba affecting how they see dealing with situations like Spirit Chronicles stuff, because they obviously think that Spirit Chronicles is something that could be successful. Otherwise, they wouldn't get an anime adaptation of it. They're trying to make that next thing. It just doesn't work out in the end. Now, the obvious answer there is, it's going to sound really mean, get better writers, get better stories, and there's tons of content out there to work with. There's millions of manga and light novels created every year in Japan. It's that crazy. There's so much stuff to work with. That's why we don't get into source materials most of the time, because, like, where to start? There's so many of them. Which one are you going to focus your time into?
And then there's the problem of my automatic reaction is, if I'm going to go into it, I'm going to go into the stories that I want to read. Like, me catching up on Seraph of the End, or working on Maoyusha, that's something that I really, really, really wanted to continue the story on. So,
sorry, I got him into that discussion again. I got Chris on the subject again. Focus, Chris. No, I'm joking. But no, it's sad because that was the whole discussion that we had earlier. Why not Spice and Wolf? That's literally a bonfire. Like, from our perspective, that looks like a bonfire. What do they not see in that as a possibility to bellow up like Fruits Basket? Why do they not see that that's a possible Fruits Basket there? Now, I don't know how successful Fruits Basket was in Blu-ray sales and stuff, and what bolstering they've seen in a re-release of the manga or whatever, but they obviously seen something there. Now, the other thing that I see is, obviously, I made an entire video on this, by the way, is I made a video on the death of the old shonen. Like, I felt like at the time when Kimetsu no Yaiba was, like, getting in its second season, they were talking about continuing the adaptation. At the same time, we had My Hero Academia was going crazy. And then we were just on the heels of Jujutsu Kaisen blowing up. Because this was literally, like, the beginning of this year, which when Jujutsu Kaisen ended. And my perspective at that time was, this is a sign of what can be for future shonens. My Hero Academia, Jujutsu Kaisen, Kimetsu no Yaiba, this idea of not just making long-running 5,000-episode shonen series that they just literally copy and paste animations. They do the lowest possible quality of animation so they don't kill their animators, because they're planning on just continuously running the anime nonstop for years on end. The stuff, and then this is nothing against, and I said it in my video too, nothing against, you know, Bleach, Naruto, One Piece, because they all have these fantastic animation points. But you have to admit that their focus is to make it run as long as possible, not kill their animators, so the quality isn't quite there. Versus this new trend in shonens like Demon Slayer and stuff, where they put massive amount of budget and animation into these 12 episode segments, and they take a break. Like, My Hero Academia was the first case where we're like, oh, this is great, it looks fantastic, and they're like, okay, we're taking a break. And it's like, well, wait, you're taking a break? No, it's supposed to keep going. It's supposed to be a long-running series that never stops. And then they come back with a second season, they're like, all right, here it is again. And you're like, whoa, how are they keeping up this quality? Because they're taking breaks. And they're putting really solid budget into it. And that was a trend that I was really hoping to see continue on with, like I said, Kimetsu no Yaiba, is this concept of, don't just make your anime an advertisement with the lowest possible risk. Make your entire core, your entire two cores or season of this quote-unquote advertisement be a awesome trailer. Like, you watch this show and you're like, holy crap, this looks so amazing. This character did this some crazy backflip. The special effects were fantastic. I want to see where the story goes. And yes, they can have that. Well, check out the source material, because obviously, again, it's an advertisement for that. They don't necessarily have to do a second season, but it's just putting that much effort into it. It makes you want to go check it out because it looks so great. How many times have we watched something that has really terrible... is it Unlimited Faulkner? The one that we keep joking about with the CGI with no texture?
Yeah, I think so.
That show that we're talking about. There was one show that we watched, or Chris actually finished it, where it had like this really crappy animation moment. And it's like, unless that story has some crazy stuff in it that's really gripping you, just the fact that the adaptation was so poorly done... Like, Tesla Notes, am I ever going to check out the source material? Probably not, because I just watched 3 episodes of the anime and it looked terrible, and I didn't get far enough to actually get into the story. That's another thing, is having the quality higher, you're going to get more invested because you're going to stick with it longer just based on the visuals, and you're going to want the source material. So there's something that can come from that. But at the same time, that's coming from a perspective of somebody in the West. This could be a completely different story for Japan. Like, they just having their stuff on a television show at some point might earn them people just jumping out and grabbing the source material. Because that's the thing to remember. Over here, we watch an anime, and we'll watch the 12 episodes of it, and we really like it or we don't like it. If we really like it, what do? We go on to Google or whatever, try to find out who is publishing it in English, and it's going to be behind, so we'll probably catch up on it. Whereas in Japan, what happens? They watch the first episode of it, and this is probably why typically the first episodes is they put a lot of effort into it. Because what happens? You watch the first episode, and then you go walking down the street, and you see it on a shelf, and you can grab the first volume and start reading it. It's very different in Japan, because the ability to jump right into the source material is a lot easier over there. And that's all they really need, is to put that effort in those first couple episodes, enough that somebody will grab it and go, forget it. I'm tired of waiting every week for the next episode. I'm just going to read the source material. So I think it's very complicated. That's my answer. It's very complicated.
On a side tangent, going off of something that Andrew bringing up, the death of the old shonen and going into the new, I do believe that their industry is going through a kind of a passing of the torch phase right now. And I am excited to see where we go from here, because the whole source material bait thing, while we still get it here and there, it will really be determined on whether or not something to consider. Japan is very rigid in its, for lack of a better term, their values. They tend to be very, very traditional. They don't like to change things very quickly. So the shifting from one generation to the next generation, and we've gone through quite a few generation changes. The generation that's really kind of more taking over right now literally almost completely grew up on anime. You want to talk about the true otaku. These are the ones who are taking over the industry, for lack of a better term, now. They're very passionate about it. They really want to do some really amazing things. Now, going on my kind of side point of the source material bait, you don't really see that as much now. You still see it, but it's not as bad as it was. Why would I mention that? Mostly because the people who are taking over the industry don't like that, because they grew up with it and they know that's an annoyance. Where you have your, we talked about, what was that show a couple of seasons ago where it was all a whole bunch of otaku, and they were pointing out all of the things that we talk about as far as the 3-episode rule, anime gataris or something.
Gataris.
Yeah. And so they're aware of all the stuff that we go through as otaku. So that kind of stuff is in the anime sphere. They're very aware of all this stuff. What is the showing of that kind of stuff, where you start seeing that the manga bait endings are not as prevalent? You start to see that they're actually pointing out, these are the reasons why we're doing this in shows like Anime Gatari. So stuff like that is stuff that makes me very excited for where we could be going into the future in the anime industry. So side tangent on off of what you're asking and what Andrew mentioned.
Yeah, it hurts to think that I don't think that whole concept will ever change with, you know, doing low budget to get low rewards, because I think the risk is too high. But like I said, I will still stick by my thought process, is if there is something there that is already technically on fire, there is more likely a chance they will put a lot of effort into it. I think Jujutsu Kaisen was already another case where something already had a bonfire going, and they just threw a gasoline can into it.
Fate was an example of that as well.
Yeah. They knew that Type Moon was huge. All the properties there and all the Fate series there is huge. Fate Grand Order was very successful, so they can put a budget into Apocrypha or whatever. So it's sad, because there's a lot of studios dealing with stuff that's not on fire, does not have that bonfire going, because you can only have so many Demon Slayers. And obviously the reason why Demon Slayer is doing so well right now is because it's got people's attention. And if it's got people's attentions, they're not looking at other stuff. So trying to get that attention sucks. And it's funny because I almost wonder if we'll ever see the loss of the source material bait. Because, again, like I said earlier, it's so easy to have that hook at the very end of the show that, again, somebody will just walk out the door, walk down the street, grab it off the shelf. Whereas us, it really sucks because when we get that source material bait, we have to wait several years before we get the point in the source material has been translated and we're getting into that segment of it. Unless, again, you put the hat on and jump onto the floating plink that's in the ocean. Yari also says, optional side quest question. Feel free to skip any. I don't think we will. Have you ever considered putting the sound clip of Chris going "us" on the end of your YouTube videos? No. What are the greatest source materials that could... that's the thing. It's like, sometimes I have issues with inside jokes in my YouTube videos. Because, again, like I've mentioned several times, people that listen to our podcasts don't watch YouTube. People that watch us on YouTube don't listen to podcasts. It's like it's two different audiences. I'm literally, like I said before, on YouTube, I'm building a new audience because so many of our listeners don't even watch our videos. As much as I would welcome y'all, it's just we have a completely different audience there. And that's why I try to make sure that we cover things on both sections. Even though I made a whole video on the Netflix festival stuff, I'm still going to come on here to tell you guys on the podcast what happened because I'm not going to not include our listeners because our listeners are important to us as well, just as equally important. So anyways, but yeah, I don't think most of us wouldn't understand the OS part. It was very awkward. But anyway, I might Easter egg at some point, just throw it in there in one of the video, just some, what the hell was that? next question. What are the greatest source materials that could have been the next greatest hits, but have been ruined by poor anime adaptations, in your opinion? Peach Boy Riverside. But I also agree with one that you put on there. So I'm a Spider, So What. I literally had I'm probably blowing it up, 5-minute rant on my review of So I'm a Spider, So What, literally ridiculing the studio for butchering that. Because I think that was a story that could have been great. That was absolutely, like, that anime is a terrible show. It's a good story, but a terrible show. And I think it did terrible things to the source material. Like, it literally butchered it. But yeah, also Peach Boy Riverside. Mainly on the idea, like I said, with the fact that they just put the episode count in a randomizer. And it made no sense why they did that. Any other ones? We talked about Claudia Code, but that's technically an original.
That was an original.
But they made a source material for it. He wrote it. He's technically a light novel writer, so.
maybe our favorite Dragon Girl that we keep kicking around here and there. They're
Dragon Goes House Hunting?
Nah, well, yeah, that probably too, but
our Dragon Girl that we keep kicking around.
Yeah. The one that we keep saying that we don't know how we feel about her.
Cross Ange,
yes.
That was an original too.
Was it an original?
I think that was a manga. I don't know. Might have been a light novel. It feels light novel-y. I think that's probably a light novel. I don't know. I can't really think of anything else. Like,
yeah, it's one of those that you kind of... Whenever you get those shows, you tend to forget about them as quickly as possible, so...
Yeah. Well, I mean, Unlimited Fafner, like we mentioned before, probably the case. I keep saying Unlimited Fafner. It's probably not even Unlimited Fafner. I know it was around the same time. Yeah, it's Unlimited Fafner. I don't know. Tesla Note, X-Arm. I've heard that the X-Arm is actually a good story, but I will never... I mean, it's ruined it. Like, I don't even want to touch anything having to do with X-Arm because that... Yeesh. That new Seven Deadly Sins. Literally just seeing that CGI trailer makes me not want to get back into finishing Seven Deadly Sins. It ruined it. It all ruins it. I've heard a lot of people criticize Record of Ragnarok. I enjoyed it. But I've heard some people say that it was a bad adaptation. What show don't we watch that has people come in and say the
it's butchering the source material.
Yeah, that's true.
It's always the case. Every time. They missed this. They skipped this. This is terrible. Well, the recent season of My Hero Academia made me hate this.
Everybody.
I literally almost stopped watching My Hero Academia just because of how they butchered the fifth season. Just rearranging things in the adaptation. It ruined the show. I literally almost stopped watching the show. I had to push through it. That's pretty bad when I'm literally five seasons into the show and I want to drop the series. That's scary. I wonder how that affected people. Sorry, what?
I was mentioning Berserk. That
oh gosh.
That
well, that forced me to go buy the entire manga. That literally forced me to buy the manga.
So it did what you were supposed to.
Yeah, like let's make a really crappy CGI one. That'll force people to watch buy the manga. Let's make three compilation films and then we'll do a full new season. That will force people to buy the manga. You did it. Congratulations. You pulled it off. Oh, bad. Oh, my. Dude, Way of the House Husband. Like, I struggled through it because of Kendra Suda, but I wonder how many people were ruined because of that adaptation. Like, it was so funny when they were talking about Way of the House Husband on that Netflix stream. What was in the chat? Best PowerPoint anime ever. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. I mean, I literally joked about that. That show is literally one person in a room scanning in manga clips, coloring them in, and putting Kendra Suda's voice over it. This is literally the whole thing. It's not even animated. It's literally not animated. It's so sad. I guess it's animated because they slid a still across the screen. But like I said, that
Roomba
directly... Was... Yeah, technically the Roomba did move around.
He was fantastically animated.
It's like you have, you know, like whenever you see like on Twitter, somebody's like, you know, one of these animators that's working on like one segment will like post that. I mean, we talked about the guy with, My Hero Academia that did that one segment for Toga. And you know how they like post like these little like visuals, like the in-betweens and stuff, like this very... You know, rough stuff to show like this cool animation segment that's going to come in the next episode. They literally have that one guy that animated the Roomba like posts on Twitter. This is my hard work. Doesn't it look great? Actually, it's probably CGI. The Roomba was CGI. They didn't want to put in the budget to make it 2D. It was literally probably a slide and still too. I can't remember though, but yeah. I just wonder how many people, like, just dropped that series completely just based on it. Because, like I said, me, personally, I watched it because Kendra Suda. Like, his voice made it. Like, I talked about this several times before, is how voice acting can make or break something. I was mentioning it when I was talking about the recent episode of Yuki Inu is a Hero. Like, they had this segment where this character is, like, viciously swinging this weapon around, and their voice is, like, is not... There's no inflections in there. Like, you don't hear, you know, they're swinging there, and you can hear that jump in their voice because they just exerted energy to swing it back over. And it reminded me of Hiroshi When They Cry. You remember the whole segment where he's climbing up the ladder and Mion or Shion, like I said, they technically both had their chance, is sitting there shaking the ladder. And the entire time... Their voice is like this, and it's very monotone. It doesn't really change anything, even though their body is flailing around, and it ruins a scene because my mind thinks their voice should be jumping around. Why is it staying monotone? I think it's a Japanese thing in horror is doing that for some reason because I've seen it several times in horror specifically, but it's that voice acting that can make or break a scene. And again, Way of the House Husband. It's strictly that voice. And shoot, the Corpse Party. That's voice acting alone. It's a 16-bit JRPG maker video game, but it's still more horrific than most stuff because of the voice acting. The voice acting that they've hired for that professional redub of Corpse Party made that story and made that horror. It's that significant. But side tangent. Side tangent. Anything else? I can't, That's all the recent memories. Like I'm sure there's plenty of other ones that I can probably think of. I think if you check out our deliberations podcast that we do and look for the segment of biggest disappointments, it's probably going to be something in there. Because most of the time, our biggest disappointments of the season or the year is always shows that we think had a cool concept, but they just butchered the whole thing. So, yeah. Anyways, what else? But yeah, I think So Am a Spider, So What is probably the biggest example I have right now, because like I said, I wanted to enjoy that show so much, but it was so butchered. It was so butchered. Yari also says, who is Ram? I hate you. So I'll walk myself out. Thanks for answering and keep up the good hustle. Appreciate it. Thanks for your support and your continued support. Your support and your continued support. That sounded really dumb. That was a bad adaptation of what I was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Probably never want to check out the source material. Anyways, that's all the questions we're going to do for now. We're running long, but like I said, we had tons of news bits, so it makes sense that we'd run out of time. But keep the questions coming in. I definitely appreciate you guys supporting us, telling other people about us, supporting us on Patreon, supporting us through our tips links on our website and through our YouTube videos, supporting us on our YouTube. We just hit 4,500 subs. We definitely appreciate everybody that does. If you have a chance and you have a YouTube account, go over there and give us a subscription on there just to support us. Check out the videos. I definitely appreciate everybody that does. And yeah, as always, we hope you all enjoyed. And y'all take care.
Oos.
Oos. I just didn't want to come out of there. You know what I mean? I'm going to put that at the end of the video.
Oos.
Oos.
弱い光が